Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Imagine speaking to your table and a full-blown map of Google Earth appears. Or you keep tabs on your elderly mother by watching the petals of a mechanized flower with digital sensors. This is not science fiction. It's the reality that Dr. Sheila Carpendale and Dr. Saul Greenberg are refining in their lab at the University of Calgary. And Smart Technologies, Inc. has broken ground on its new world headquarters in Calgary's Research Park. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. If you spend much time in either the classroom or the boardroom, you're probably familiar with the Smart Board. It's an interactive computerized whiteboard that really rockets flip charts into cyberspace. Invented by Calgary entrepreneurs Nancy Knowlton and David Martin, the Smart Board has given rise to a whole host of new products. And the success of Smart Technologies, Inc. is being marked by two key events. First, the building of the company's new world headquarters in Calgary's Research Park. And second, a collaboration with ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, to establish a research chair in interactive technology. Nancy Knowlton is the CEO of Smart Technologies, Inc.
Well, we've grown from 2 people to about 1,000 people today. And in the very early years, I think our first year we might have sold 500 products in an entire year. We make more than that in under half a day today. So it's just an order of magnitude of difference in terms of what our company is.
And in addition to the whiteboards, you have a number of different products now. What are they?
Well, we have a Symposium interactive pen display, which a lot of people think of as a personal smart board, and then a variety of accessory products that would complement the smart board. So we've just recently released the Sentio interactive response system that puts a device into each student's hand. So during class, a teacher can ask both planned and ad hoc questions, and each child can answer. We've got an airliner wireless slate that provides mobility to both teachers and students, where they can input their information onto a shared display, whether that's a smart board, interactive whiteboard, or just a projector onto a regular screen. And then we also make a series of software applications. One is Smart Ideas concept mapping software, synchronized classroom management software, and Bridget conferencing software. And then, of course, many other products are currently under development as well.
It's amazing what a platform technology the whiteboard became for you.
In many ways, the SmartBoard Interactive Whiteboard is a Trojan horse, or a platform as you call it, because it has pulled an enormous amount of technology into many classrooms today. Teachers feel comfortable working at the interactive whiteboard because there's some element of familiarity. But beyond just a regular whiteboard, this interactive whiteboard really is the window to a universe of digital resources, whether they're stored on the internet or accessed from a computer's hard drive, from a network location, or from a CD-ROM.
Whereabouts are you selling your products now?
Well, we're selling in over 100 countries around the world. Our prime markets in terms of sheer size are the United Kingdom and the U.S., but other countries are emerging as well. Mexico was very important to us this last year with a very large project to outfit grade 5 and grade 6 classrooms with interactive technology. Increasingly, Europe and the Middle East are strong adopters of interactive whiteboards and other of our products, and Australia as well.
And you have a new building to go with that. Tell me about this.
Well, we're constructing a 200,000 square foot building here at Research Park, and that building is going to be ready for us on July 23rd, 2008, and that's a pretty firm date. That building is going to allow us to pull together staff who are currently located in 6 buildings in 2 clusters, really, one in the Beltline area on 11th Avenue and one up in the northeast part of Calgary, into the single location. And we're hoping that through this close connection with the University of Calgary, our strong relationships already with the Faculty of Computer Science and the Engineering Faculty will be strengthened, and that we can also expand our relationship with the faculties of business as well as education.
Now, the other announcement that you're involved in today is your collaboration with ICOR on a research chair. What is this going to do for you?
Well, it does a couple of things for us. First of all, it allows us to formalize our support for the two prime researchers who are sharing this chair, Dr. Sheila Carpendale and Dr. Saul Greenberg. They've collaborated with us through the years, and now it's really our turn to give something back to them. So we've committed over the next 5 years to provide $100,000 a year to the chair that they will be sharing to really enhance their research into interactive technologies.
One of the things I found absolutely astounding was the description of what they're going to do, where essentially almost every surface you touch could be a potential interactive site.
Well, I think that's where things are going. Why be limited to the obvious today? I think the role of research is to really think about those things that wouldn't necessarily occur to people in their everyday lives. So both Sheila and Saul challenge their students to think about ways in which life, and I'm talking about all aspects of life now, can be made better through the use of technology. And so they'll probably think about some wacky things and some far-out things that will never get commercialized. But I'm guessing that they'll also, through observation and just experimentation, come up with some ideas that will make their way into everyday life as well.
Congratulations, Nancy, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you.
That was Nancy Knowlton, CEO of Smart Technologies, Inc. in Calgary. ICOR, the Informatic Circle of Research Excellence, has launched yet another industrial chair at the University of Calgary. This one is supported in part by Smart Technologies, Inc., and two professors will share the $1 million fund earmarked for the advancement of interactive technology. Dr. Randy Gable is the president and CEO of ICOR.
It's actually two chairs, so we have these tandem chairs for the first time ever, and it's a new industrial chair in connection with Smart Technologies. And today what we're doing is launching the chairs and introducing the construction of the new Smart World headquarters here in the Research Park at, in Calgary.
Now, this one deals with interactive technology. Could you describe a bit of what the research will be?
The research that's going on is largely what you would call the computer science and collaborative interaction science behind machines interacting with humans. So Saul Greenberg, Sheila Carpendale have worked for a long time developing software and methods of interacting with machines that help humans get the jobs done with computers. Smart Technologies has, of course, made their mark on the world by building robust interactive whiteboards that are used in, I think, now 100 different countries by 15 million people. So the combination is to help accelerate SMART's edge in their industrial market with research ideas coming out of the lab.
What part will ICOR play in this?
ICOR has, again, the role of brokering the relationship and levering it. So ICOR, as a provincial funder, is matching SMART's investment in the Interaction Technologies Research Lab by doubling it. So the $500,000 that SMART commits to a five-year program is matched by ICOR's $500,000. So there'd be a sort of $1 million in research projects run over 5 years in collaboration between the company and the research lab.
What do you find exciting or different about this particular research?
This research is an aspect of computer science that's being done for a long time. I think the most exciting part of it is that SMART as a company canvasses the world for problems that exist in this space, which can help guide the research. So it's the connection for me that's most exciting, because here's an opportunity for new ideas in a research lab to actually be tried and tested in an industrial environment to see whether they actually add value, and that's exciting.
Thank you very much, Randy.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Randy Gable, President and CEO of iCor, Alberta's informatics circle of research excellence. Interactive computer screens are all around us, from smart boards to PDFs. You can touch the screens and magic happens. Words and thoughts are captured and digitized. Now imagine if you could turn your tabletop, whether it's in the boardroom or the layout room, into a touchscreen computer monitor. It responds to voice commands as well. That's exactly what's happening in the lab of Dr. Sheila Carpendale and Dr. Saul Greenberg at the University of Calgary. These two researchers figure it's time we got past the notion of trying to make people adapt to computers. Rather, they believe that new technology should fit with the way people naturally interact with one another. After all, we conference around tables, we pick things up with our hands and move them around. Sheila and Saul are merging these concepts with interactive technology that allows just about any surface to become a computer. And that's the focus of their new iCor Smart Technologies Inc. Industrial Chair in Interactive Technologies Research.
To understand the new chair, you have to consider what we do. And what Sheila and I do together is look at interactive technologies. And our goal is to try to make technologies, in particular computing technology, work for people. Currently, people tend to fight technology. Although they can get their work done, although they can socialize through that, it's often in spite of the technology. Our goal is to really to try to make technology fit in our lives.
Sheila, the thing that I found quite interesting about your introduction to the new chair was your focus on the social aspects of how we incorporate computers and technology into our lives. Why are you interested in that?
I started off doing information visualization, and that's all about making information more available and more accessible to people. But basically, once you actually go to all the effort to actually create a visualization of information, you're doing it because you want to discuss it with somebody. And there wasn't really any kind of venue where a group of people, a group of researchers, could get together and discuss their information. And that's a more social activity. That's a small group of people working together at a team. And that's why I got involved in large displays, in tabletop displays, and in, you know, co-located collaboration to help small teams of people explore their information with each other.
And sitting around the table as we see outside.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you then take that technology of what we're used to with the, you know, your computer, the monitor sitting in front of you, and turn it into something that's like everyday objects? Saul?
Well, this is actually happening as we speak. When we ask anybody to, say, draw a computer, they'll draw a computer with a keyboard and a mouse. But in actual fact, your iPod is a computer, your cell phone is a computer, your GPS is a computer, your microwave is a computer. As we speak, our technology is changing around us. They're becoming appliances. They're becoming part of our world. The problem is that we still have this big brunt of computing, the traditional desktop computer, that's still seen to work the exact same way, and that doesn't really fit in how we actually do things.
So if we think about wanting to actually bring this back into like a practical thing, we've talked about actually having your information available on a table. But then we have to actually understand the subtle nuances of how people use tables in their everyday life, non-digital tables, to actually understand how to fully support the kinds of activities that people do naturally on a table now in a digital environment.
What have you done in order to figure out what that is?
Well, we do observational studies in all kinds of different settings. So I've done a whole series of them on tabletop, and Saul has done a whole series of them on information in the home. And we set a situation up where we watching people doing something that they would normally do, in my case, on a table. We usually videotape it, and then we watch repeatedly the videotapes and analyze how they use their hands, how they use their voices, where they put their information down, how they use the space on the table, all of those kinds of details, and think about what are the implications of that for technology. How would you actually support so that how they would normally and naturally want to use a table, they can have access to digital information and use it normally and naturally.
Can you give me an example?
Well, one example, and you've just seen the demos, is our tables have no menus, no buttons, and you would think that that means you can't do anything with them because all of our computers are driven that way. But they're touch and gesture and voice enabled, and you can use them and go about your information organization, sorting tasks that you want to do, playing games, exploring Google Earth, as you saw. There's all kinds of different ways that you can actually interact with them without needing what we think is the way that computers have to work.
What do you do about sticky fingers? I'd be so afraid of having little children, or myself even, because I spill things, ruin the equipment.
It's just glass. You just wipe it off.
That brings in a different point, which is that if you understand what the technology is going to be used for ahead of time, if you understand what people are going to do with it, then you can design those kind of safeguards in. So, for example, if you're concerned about a table and sticky fingers, you develop the surface so you can wash it. There is, in fact, I still remember in Ontario, they used to have something called the peanut butter and Coke test, which meant that every computer used in a classroom, you had to be able to immerse it in a vat of Coke and smear peanut butter over it, and it should still work. And that's a small thing, but it pays attention to details. It actually thinks about what happens when we use computers in real life.
What part does smart technologies play in all of this?
Well, Smart Technologies is an innovative company developing interactive whiteboards. I think you've seen that. When they develop their technologies, they're constrained to think about what can sell today. And they can look a little bit into the future. So, for example, a big concern for them is how do we make sure that our boards work with Microsoft Windows? Microsoft Windows does not allow multiple touches. It does not recognize multiple people. We have the luxury of being able to look further into the future to ask, what if we had multiple touches? What if we actually redesigned this as a table? What can we do with it? So Smart Technologies has the technology plus the experience of seeing what's happening in how people now use their interactive boards. We're able to take that and project in the future to say, can we actually design technologies that are even better? So when the future starts happening, we've already done a lot of the work so that they can be poised to take advantage of it.
Let's look into the future. How do you see some of these things being incorporated into our everyday lives? What kind of products or applications will there be?
We don't have to look into the future. It's happening right now. Currently in home, just open up any newspaper. The big thing being advertised are plasma televisions. We are getting large displays in the home, and it's a consumer-level entity. Currently, we still think of it as a television. But what's happening is that displays are getting larger, they're getting cheaper, they will become touch sensitive. We are starting to get technologies that merge computers into those large displays, such as media centers and the like. In 10 years' time, every display will be something that recognizes multiple touch, that actually affords the social capabilities of what people do in the home, and that's actually part of the way they interact with digital information. I just can't imagine it staying the way it is.
What examples do you have for applications in the future?
I mean, I know that when we started the work on the table, and you've seen the software that at this point is looking at like image sorting on the table, and when people actually come up and use it, almost everybody who comes says, I want this. And they all have a different reason why they want it. Like some people, you know, some doctors have wanted it for medical triage. Some, you know, the firefighters wanted it for emergency situations. The photographer said, I need this for my images that I have in Photoshop. Like everybody has in their own mind some different way of being able to see what we've actually already done. And that's actually part of what this, you know, the link with SMART is all about, is because we will go on looking further into the future. And now some of these things may actually see commercial light of day.
One of the images that comes to my mind as I'm listening to you speak about these applications is the war room from the movie sets, where everyone is standing around and they're moving the little ships and the planes and everything all over. Is that an application?
There is a group that actually looks specifically at that at MIT that they call the Human Automation Lab. And two of the research from there are coming up in 2 weeks to give a talk to us about how they look at things, and because they know about our research here and they want to look at what we do in conjunction to, you know, their relationship with those kinds of situations. And I think you actually have stuff to say about command and control situations.
So the kinds of things that you've seen on the multimodal table where you can both talk and interact at the same time has actually sparked quite a big interest. from the military and from other communities that are involved in command and control situations. That the biggest fallacy, though, is to think that this is all about military application or the like. What we're really doing is we're understanding basic human interaction. If we can understand that, we can apply it to a myriad of settings, because human interaction is constant across all of them, be it in a military situation, be it kids playing games across the table, being it the way families look at their photos, be it the way doctors and nurses interact over a simulation of, let's say, a medical operation. It's the basic human communication is the same, and that's the power of the work that we do. We don't target necessarily any single area, although we'll use them as examples, but what we do is we understand how everything that we do can apply to basic interaction. Another part of our work has nothing to do with tables. It has to do with creating new forms of computers that that are specifically designed for a particular setting. So one of the things that we envision is how do you handle the case where you have an elderly parent living independently but just. As an adult child, how can you actually make sure that they're still doing okay? So we can imagine putting sensors in a home that checks to see, has mom got up in the morning, has she, you know, she moving around the house, which, you know, if we were living next door, we'd see the lights go on, we see the shadows in the windows, we know that there's activity happening, and that's good. What we don't want to do is to collect that information and stick it onto an internet where you go and see it through a browser. What we do see is that we can create what's called an information appliance that actually fits in your home. One of the examples I use is a flower that blooms open and close. And the blooming state could actually represent the activity level of your parent. So if you walk by the living room at midday and there's a flower in full bloom, you know, mom's doing fine. But if you go by and it's closed, you maybe have cause for concern. So perhaps then you should go and visit and see if things are all right. What's important in that is that it's not just acute appliance, but that it gives you the essential information in the context that you want it. At the same time, it safeguards the details of privacy because, you know, we don't want video cams in the home where you're actually tracking and monitoring and doing surveillance. That's not what this is about. It's about caring.
You have an awful lot of grad students out there. What kinds of projects are they working on?
We have, well, there are three profs in this lab, Saul and I and Ehud, and there's probably between the three of us, we probably have close to 30 grad students. And the projects vary enormously, though they all have the same kind of underlying theme of working towards a better understanding of how we actually do things in everyday life and so that technology can fit with us. Now, the applications vary, the particular projects from looking at details of, you know, distributed groupware to looking at visualizing a particular piece of information to working with Canadian Forest Services on creating visual decision to support tools for mountain pine beetle management strategies to looking at asynchronous collaboration across shift change in hospitals to looking at visualizing uncertainty, because one of the things that's happening as visualizations get better, they're starting to be actually used as the basis for decisions. But all data comes with uncertainty, and up until now, the inclusion of uncertainty in the visualization has mostly been ignored.
We're doing home calendars, how families use calendars in the home and outside of it is another big project. We're looking at what's called context-aware computing in the home, where you put a computing appliance changes the way it behaves. So just in the same way that, you know, if you leave a bunch of DVDs by the front door, it's a signal to the rest of the family, so can you leave digital information around in certain locations, and it actually understands how to do something about it. We also do really hardcore technologies, which is the underlying computer science, and we could list them, but it just suffice to say is that because we're working on the edge of what can be done with computers, we spend an awful lot of time trying to redesign what happens under the covers so that we can actually go about doing our work, so we can think about design rather than worrying about plumbing. But that does require very hardcore technical work.
Okay, an example of that is you've looked at and enjoyed the interactive table. And one of the nice things about that big interactive table is it's big. One of the nice things about it is it's actually very high resolution, so the images are still good and they look crisp and they're easy to see. But that's actually 6 million pixels. And that's kind of a lot of pixels for a computer to move around. So we actually had to do a whole lot of underlying work to actually get the interactivity rates back up to where we needed them to have the smooth, flowing interaction. And that we tend not to talk about, but it's just as fundamental to the work here that we do the kind of infrastructure that can make it possible to do innovative work.
Well, that was the thing I noticed, how quickly everything moved. It was almost instantaneous.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what one expects. Like, if you're here in the regular world, you know, you can move things and they move right away. That's an important part of actually making it feel right. In fact, I think you probably know there's a famous Picasso quote about painting, and he says that, you know, a few good lines is all you really need, that actually the human imagination will fill in the rest. But we have the same kind of feeling about interaction, that, you know, the right feel and flow of the interaction will help you actually be able to interact with the technology the way you want to. So there's an aesthetic to the interaction, much as there is to our visuals.
So when am I going to be able to buy something in the store?
The typical time frame from between what you see in the lab versus what you actually go out and buy as a consumer is as much as 20 years. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be a 20-year time lag here, but especially because of smart technology's involvement. The question, though, becomes when it does come out there, what will it look like? How much will it cost you? Will it actually do what you want? And even more importantly, are you ready for it? One thing that happens with technology is that it's not just a matter of saying, here's the technology, we've done everything we can. But what really happens is that cultures adapt to it. They change the way they work, they think, they play as the technology becomes part of their lives. We've seen that happen with the internet. We've seen that happen with iPods. We've seen that happen with the cell phone. It's not just the technology. It's how and when we take it and make it part of our lives.
Thank you very much, Saul.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
You're welcome.
I was speaking with Dr. Sheila Carpendale and Dr. Saul Greenberg. They will jointly hold the new ICOR Smart Technologies Inc. Industrial Chair in Interactive Technologies Research at the University of Calgary. Sheila also holds a Canada Research Chair in Information Visualization, and Saul is a Professor of Computing Science. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, the Alberta Conservation Association, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Advanced Education and Technology, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.